Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store at Lowe's.com for details.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store at Lowe's.com for details.
Hey, hope everybody's having a good weekend. It's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review, where we take a look back at some of our most compelling segments of the week. Give you a chance to re-listen or catch up on stuff that maybe you missed. Enjoy.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh. I am Tony Bruschi. Maggie Murtaugh's sister, Marion Proctor, taking the stand in a raw picture of emotion as she relived the tragedy that befell her family in court and the moments that she learned that her sister Maggie and nephew Paul were shot to death in their South Carolina home on the stand. Let's take you to the courtroom to hear that testimony.
I'm Marion Proctor, P-R-O-C-T-O-R.
Good afternoon, Ms. Proctor.
Hi.
Go ahead and tell the jury, do you have any relationship to Maggie and Paul?
I am Maggie's sister, and Paul is my nephew.
Can you pull that mic just a little bit closer or slide your chair up just a little bit so you don't have to lean forward?
Okay.
And is that a fresh bottle of water there?
It is.
Oh, it is? That's your water?
Yes.
Go ahead and, if you would, tell us a little bit about yourself, just where you grew up, and just a little bit about yourself, so they get to know you just a little bit, please.
Okay. I grew up in Wilmington, North Carolina. Maggie and I did. She was my only sibling with two parents, and we both went to college, both married, both lived in South Carolina. We've been here ever since. I'm married. I have 3 daughters, and we live in the Charleston area.
Where did Maggie go to college?
South Carolina.
Did she go somewhere else and then transfer to South Carolina?
She did.
How far apart are you and Maggie?
5 years.
And your parents, what are their names?
Terry and Kennedy.
And do y'all have any other siblings, or was it just you and Maggie?
It's just Maggie and me.
Growing up, being 7 years apart as younger folks, was that a bit of an age difference as y'all grew up?
It was. For children, that's a lot. So, I was in college. She was in high school. So we weren't super close when we were children. But later on, as our lives became more similar, we became very close.
And how long ago do you think that relationship grew very close?
When the children were little, we did a lot together. It was easy. As they got older with, you know, their commitment sports and things like that, it was mostly holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving. And then when we both became empty nesters, we were having a really good time.
Y'all talk almost every day?
Almost every day.
Tell the jury a little bit about Maggie. How would you describe her to somebody, just so they can get an idea of who she was?
Maggie was sweet. She was kind of a free spirit. She was always up for anything that was going on. She loved her family. She loved her boys. Buster and Paul were her world. She loved my parents. We, you know, joked how we would grow old together and take care of them. And she was just a really, really good person.
Was Maggie a tomboy at all, or was she more of a girl's girl?
No, she was definitely a girl's girl, but she made the best of having two boys. She was right in there fishing, hunting. She didn't grow up doing that. We used to laugh that she'd get in the deer stand with her Southern Living magazine, and the boys would tell her she was making too much noise turning the pages. And then, you know, fishing. She loved going out on the boat. She loved being at the beach. She loved going to the islands. I don't know that she really fished that much, but she just wanted to do what they were doing. She wanted to spend time with them.
What about the Gamecocks?
She was a big Gamecock fan.
Are you a Gamecock fan?
I'm a big Clemson fan.
Y'all still managed to get along, though?
We got along great. We did. And we were together a lot on those Clemson-Carolina days. And we would have a big time.
Being kind of a girl's girl, did she like spending time with you and your daughters and getting a chance to do those sorts of things?
She loved it. She and my girls loved their Aunt Maggie. She always, you know, said that she was their favorite aunt. And she just, you know, loved catching up on all the latest makeup and, you know, hair trends and shoes. And she just loved doing girls stuff with us.
Did Maggie work over the years, or was she focused on taking care of the boys and raising them?
She was mostly a stay-at-home mom. She had a little shop in Hampton for a while. She and Miss Libby did that together. So that was fun. She was real involved with the boys' schools, you know, all their sporting events. I don't think she probably ever missed one. But she was mostly a stay-at-home mom.
What about Paul? Did you get to know him, obviously, as your nephew?
Yes.
Tell the jury just a little bit about Paul and what he was like.
Paul was a sweet, sweet boy. Misrepresented in the media. He had such a kind side to him. He was always wanting to help. You know, Aunt Marion, does Uncle Bart need some wood? He'd bring us a load of wood. He was a kind soul, and I loved him a lot.
Was Maggie very involved in the family finances, to your knowledge?
Not at all.
Explain to the jury a little bit, if you would.
She, they had a comfortable life. Maggie was happy. It wasn't a lavish life, but it was a comfortable life. And, I mean, money just, it was never an issue for her that she knew about.
That she knew about?
Right.
I think you said you don't think Maggie ever balanced a checkbook because finances wasn't.
She didn't. So I was the sister who balanced it to the penny and went crazy if I made a mistake in my checkbook. Maggie's was in the floor of her car with all of her bills thrown all over it. And she didn't. organization was not her best skill.
Mr. Randolph, Paul's grandfather, did you know him?
I did.
And then his spouse was who?
Miss Libby.
Towards the end of Maggie Paul's life, can you tell the jury just a little bit about Miss Libby's health?
Miss Libby had Alzheimer's and wasn't too bad at first, but she's been declining for years. And it's real bad now. I think she stays in bed all day. She doesn't recognize her family. And she has to be helped to do everything. She can't feed herself or go to the bathroom or do anything.
Back in June of 2021, was her condition similar in that regard?
Yes.
Back in June of 2021, was Mr. Randolph suffering any health issues?
Mr. Randolph was really sick. He had had lots of different things wrong with him. And I think that his days were coming close to an end.
In the days leading up to Paul and Maggie's death, had the family received some not encouraging news about Mr. Randolph's prognosis?
Correct. I think that they felt like everything had been done for him that could be done. And I'm not sure Mr. Randolph wanted anything else done to him either. It had been a long road for him.
Back up a little bit. The family, Alec and Maggie's family, properties, did they have a house in Hampton at one time?
They did. They built that house.
Okay. And did they have a beach house?
They did.
And where was that?
At Estow.
And when did they get the beach house roughly? Do you recall?
Oh, gosh. I really don't know. They've had it for a long time. I really don't know. I'm sorry.
And what about Moselle? They had that property as well?
Yes. Moselle was their most recent property. And it was kind of a hunting plantation type place, great setup for hunting everything, and lots of beds for Alec to have men come out and have hunts, and not Maggie's favorite place to be, but the boys loved it.
Sure. And in the summertime, where did Maggie typically prefer to be? At a stove?
She loved the beach, yes.
Are you familiar with what people refer to as the boat crash?
I am.
And to your general recollection, that happened around February of 2019?
Correct.
After the boat crash, did the family, and particularly Maggie, feel like what she felt is some sort of backlash in the community or some sort of negative reaction that bothered her?
She did. That was a devastating blow for their family. It was a horrible accident, but it was an accident. And Maggie felt like the Hampton community had turned against her. And Paul was being mistreated. People would say mean things to him, call him names, social media. You know, inappropriate things were said to him. Inappropriate things were said to him when he went back to school. And it was very hard on the family. It was very stressful.
Is that also part of the reason that Maggie preferred staying in Edisto?
I think so, yes.
During this time period, did Maggie start looking for a house somewhere else?
She did. They sold their Hampton house. She was looking in the Hilton Head, Bluffton area for something. she had been looking in that area for a while.
Okay. Did she find anything she liked?
She did. She found one house that she just loved, and she called me and my parents to come down and take a look at it. And I believe Alec was there too. And she really thought that they might make an offer on that house, but in the end they did not. I think Alec advised her that the timing was just not right with the boat case going on.
So we move closer to June 7th of 2021. I believe you testified that the family had received some bad prognosis on Mr. Randolph. Is that correct?
Yes. Maggie called me that day and said she was at Edisto. She had some men working on the house, and Mr. Randolph was not doing well at all, and Alec really wanted her to come home that night. She hadn't planned on it, but that he needed her to come home, and Paul was going to be there too. And I said, well, Maggie, I said, you know, Alec and his dad are super close, and that's probably what you should do. Go be with him if he needs you.
She said that Alec wanted her to come home that night?
Yes.
What was your understanding of Maggie's intent or what they were going to do that night?
I was under the impression they were going over to Almeda to visit his parents.
And that's why Alec wanted Maggie to come home?
Correct.
And that was from your conversation with her?
Yes.
She called you to let you know that that's what Alec had called her about?
Yes.
You said she was having some work done at Edisto on June 7th?
Yes, just maintenance work, getting it ready for the summer.
You encouraged her to go to Moza?
I did.
Was that the last time you talked to her?
Yes.
Remember about what time of day that was?
I think it was around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I think Maggie loved to call me when she was driving. She was always driving from, you know, Moselle to Edisto to Charleston. And I think it was around 4 that afternoon.
What was the rest of your day like? Just a normal day?
Just a normal day.
Go to bed that evening?
Actually, we were not in bed. We were watching a movie. It was just Bart and me at home that night.
Bart, your husband? Tell me how you found out.
John, I didn't even realize this was going on. We were watching a movie, and Bart had gotten up to, I thought, go into the kitchen, and he had a text from John Marvin saying that there had No, I'm sorry, a text from Randy saying that there had been a tragedy, and could Bart please call him on his cell phone? He had called on Alec's cell phone, but wanted Bart to call him back on his cell phone.
So what happened?
So Bart went outside and called him. So I still didn't know anything was going on, and told him that Maggie and Paul had been shot. They were dead.
What was your reaction?
I just couldn't believe it. I didn't think it was true. I said, there has to be a mistake. I said, there's got to be some explanation. It just can't be them.
What did y'all do after that?
We gathered up our things, and we went to tell my parents, and they live in Somerville. My mom had just had knee replacement surgery. So when we got to Somerville, I called and I said, "Mom, we're on the way, and we've got some bad news to share, but I want to be with you." And so she was sitting in her recliner chair with her leg all bundled up. And so we got there, and both of my parents were there. And I think my mom went into shock. She couldn't be still, and she just kept making these noises. And it was just the worst.
Did you go to Moselle at any point?
We pretty much stayed with my parents all night. We went back home, showered, and then we all went to Moselle the next morning.
Over the next few days, were y'all staying back in Somerville and going to Moselle, or what were you and your parents doing in Bart?
So we had family coming in from Kentucky, and some of them were staying with me, some of them were staying with my parents, but we were in Moselle every day. We were planning the funeral, we were in Moselle every day after that until the funeral.
Did that shock of finding out last for a while?
I'm sorry?
Did that shock of finding out last for a while?
It's still hard to face.
When you got to Moselle, did you see Alec, the defendant?
I did.
Did y'all hug?
We did.
Cry?
We did.
Over the course of the next couple of days, or in the aftermath, as the shock was wearing off just a little bit, did you have any conversation with Alec about what had happened?
I didn't talk to Alec a lot. Alec was just really busy, and the whole town was coming to see him, and he was very, very, very torn up. I did at one point ask him if Maggie had suffered, and he assured me that she did not. Now, I don't know that I think that's true. And I asked if Paul had suffered, and he said no. And then later I asked him, I said, "Alec, do you have any idea who's done this?" I said, "We have got to find out who could do this." And he said that he did not know who it was, but he felt like whoever did it had thought about it for a really long time.
Whoever had done it had thought about it for a really long time. Did that strike you as odd?
I just didn't know what that meant.
Were you ever privy or have any discussion with anything Alec said about whether or not he went to the kennels that night?
I personally did not talk to him about that, but he told my mom that he had dinner with Maggie and Paul, and then he took a nap, which he did. That was kind of a routine. He would lay down on the sofa at night after work and take a nap.
But he said he never went to the kennel.
Correct.
After your conversation with Maggie, your last conversation with her, did it strike you as odd that she didn't go to the kennels or go to Alameda with Alec?
Yes.
And why is that?
Because that's the whole reason she went home that night.
Did you think, from your conversation with Maggie, that she was planning to see Mr. Randolph too?
I thought so. I didn't realize that Mr. Randolph wasn't there at the time.
That was a surprise to you?
Mm-hmm.
In the days and weeks following Maggie and Paul's murder, did Alec ever say anything about the boat case?
We would talk about the boat case. And he was very intent on clearing Paul's name.
What did he say?
He said that... his number one goal was clearing Paul's name. And I thought that was so strange because my number one goal was to find out who killed my sister and Paul.
But that wasn't Alec's concern, main concern?
I know he must have wanted that too, but it just, I don't know how he could have thought about anything else.
He talked about the boat case. Did he ever act scared or afraid that the real killers were out there somewhere or anything like that, or was he concerned with the boat case?
We were afraid. We didn't know what was going on. My family was scared. I was scared for Alec and Buster. I felt like they needed protection. I think everybody was afraid. And Alec didn't seem to be afraid.
Did he also talk about getting Buster back into law school?
Yes.
After the murders? Maggie loved those dogs, didn't she?
She did.
She liked going down there and playing with them?
She did.
Would she tend to walk down there, or would she take another way to get down?
If she was dieting, she'd walk. Sometimes she'd ride her bicycle, and she'd take her car. She'd go, you know, just whatever she felt like, take her car, take one of the golf cart things.
She wasn't a hunter, though, was she?
No.
What'd she think about those AR-style guns that the boys said?
She seemed to be fine with those. I remember when she wanted to give them those for Christmas, and I just growing up with girls and not in the hunting world, I said, Maggie, why would you give those boys those guns? And she said, they love to shoot hogs, and which I understood that the hogs were tearing up their property, but it just scared me that they would, that the boys would have such a dangerous weapon. But I know nothing about guns, so.
Hold on 1 second, Ms. Brock. Thank you for testifying. Please answer any questions the defense may have.
Mr. Griffin.
So we have for you right now, there's more coverage on the way. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of that. Until next time, for all of us here, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.